from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are live, sun coming out here at Texans Training Camp, day 9. Ooh, we'll get back to the Texans.
It's beautiful right now.
In just a little bit. It's nice because we're in the shade, but it's going to get – the days of those frigid 82-degree high temperatures are over, my friend.
This Right this moment, it feels like I'm sitting in Minute Maid Park in the early part of the season when they hadn't figured out whatever the air conditioning system's deal was, and they never acknowledged, but still. But it's not hot, comfortable.
It's pleasant.
But they figured some things out, I think. Unless the last time I went, maybe it was because it was during this cold, I don't know.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe. So speaking of the Astros, we'll get back to the Texans in a minute. Speaking of the Astros, we alluded to this during headlines. It is trade deadline time. This is a... It's always a fun time of year to be an Astros fan because the Astros, regardless of who the general manager has been, because of who the owner is, they are active every year.
Owner wants it, and he wants it now.
Now.
I didn't pile up all this money just so I could sit around and not win World Series.
So I just sit on it. So I just sit on the pile of money. I want to spend this damn money.
Spend this money. Yeah. Give me some players. Yeah. Let's do this thing.
Yes.
That's how he says it, too, Jim Crane.
He does.
I saw him there the other day before the game, and he said, let's do this thing.
Yeah. I think he said thang, not thing. I read his lips.
Look, this is an extreme seller. Market right now for everything the Astros need.
Yes.
I am guilty of this. I put all of the Astros injured players in a box and I set it off to the side. So I really haven't allowed myself to think about the return of Justin Verlander, Luis Garcia.
who are both supposed to throw off
McCullers.
But the other two are going to throw off of a mound here very soon.
Right, right.
They're not playing catch anymore,
so
baby. When they're throwing off a mound.
You look at it right now and you think, man, all right, boy, Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco especially, you could spread it out a little bit with them with an extra starting pitcher. You are getting those other guys back, presumably. Relief pitching, as much as they've come along, you know, like Brian King is the only lefty that pitches before the ninth inning.
Right.
Like they've got to go out and get themselves a reliever. And yet, as Dana Brown said this weekend, the reliever market is more expensive than the starter market at this point. He's rattling cages, he's making calls, trying to get the ball rolling on some of this activity before the trade deadline.
He met with the media, Dana Brown did, I believe on Friday, to talk about the trade deadline and other things going on with the Astros. And he basically confirmed, he said, starting pitching is the big priority.
Yeah.
The starting pitching is a priority, without a question. You know, we have 7 starters on IL. We have to go get a starter. We would like to get a bullpen guy. That would be, you know, pretty helpful because we wore our guys down a little bit in the first half. They pitched a lot. And so to give these guys a break sometimes would be good. So if we can get a bullpen guy, that would be nice. And if a bat, you know, if a bat comes along that makes sense, we'll pursue it. But we are working in those three lanes of players.
I think you need a body as a starting pitcher. Given what the trade deadline or what the trade market looks like, I don't need an earth-shattering announcement or anything. It'd be awesome. I'm not going to complain about it if they do. But I think they need somebody to be able to at times perhaps go with 6 pitchers through the month of August. And just because Verlander, you know, you're going to want to be extra, extra careful with Verlander. Luis Garcia is the guy that I'm most excited about returning that might, you know, he's gone through a normal Tommy John surgery recovery, just had normal setbacks here and there, but it's pretty much gone according to plan. I feel like he might end up being rock solid. Verlander, you're going to have to be very careful with.
Yeah, I heard Dana Brown talking about both those guys this weekend. I don't know if it was in this press conference or if it was in one of the, like he was on the broadcast yesterday. But, I mean, Verlander comes back. He's going to be in your rotation, probably near the top of your rotation, if not at the top of your rotation. It seemed like he's open to using Garcia a myriad of different ways.
Uh-huh.
Like they may bring him back, and he might be one of these guys that eats up a couple innings for you in the middle of a game.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So the word on the street was that teams are looking at Garrett Crochet, the White Sox starter, who's been really, really good this year. He has 2 years of arbitration remaining. So you've got 3 playoffs out of him, theoretically, with team control. He's saying that he's not going to go. He's going to fight tooth and nail and doesn't want to go unless he gets a new contract.
He doesn't want to pitch in October if he doesn't get a new contract.
If he doesn't get a new contract.
Right.
Would the Astros, as we said, and he's a lefty. He's a lefty. So he's a lefty arm that could be used as a reliever until the playoffs.
He said he doesn't want to do that either.
I know he said he doesn't want to do that, but you flash a big wad of cash in front of him, people change their
thinking. Let me correct myself. He's saying he won't pitch in relief in the regular season or pitch at all in October if he doesn't get a new deal.
Unless he gets a new deal.
Yeah.
Would the Astros go there?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Jimmy, I was just telling you about how you want to do this thing.
No, I think, man, when contract stuff starts to affect how you use a guy in season, I don't know that the Astros would have agreed to what the Brewers who agreed to it with Hader back in the day, you know, like that you're only going to use me in the ninth inning
because
I got arbitration coming up next year and I got to be a free agent at some point.
Baseball is very sensitive to precedent.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people wouldn't realize the fact that baseball players' salaries are guaranteed, it's not in their CBA.
Yeah.
They just insist on it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the precedent the players have set. So I think a lot of owners don't be the ones that start to bend towards the NBA and the NFL in succumbing to those types of holdouts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's another one from Dana Brown, and said that no prospect in the system is untouchable.
If you got a deal that you feel like, you know, it's going to help this team win, I don't think anyone's in that untouchable mode. I mean, there are guys that we really don't want to have to trade, you know, but ultimately, you know, no one's untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, well, they kind of proved that last year. They traded 2 of their best prospects for Verlander, you know.
Yeah,
and that will always be the most. I think that's Jim Crane's words with Dana Brown's lips moving. You know what I mean? Dana Brown theoretically would be a GM who might feel that some of the guys are untouchable because he's steeped in the building through the minor league system school of thought. He's a scouting guy.
Right,
you know?
Right. He is a scouting guy. And he's also thinking, look, GMs are judged. You pay a GM to have a long-term perspective.
Yeah.
It's the check and the balance between, you know, like in the NFL, the coach wants to win right now. The GM has to say, all right, listen, man, we got to keep the long-term in mind. And those two forces work against each other as a check and a balance and hopefully work out. It's kind of like Dana Brown versus Jim Crane in some respects now. Jim Crane more than Espada is the guy that wants to win right now.
And I hope it is behind the scenes that way. Yeah. I hope, like, constructively.
They can have open dialogues and arguments.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you need, like, look, not having a guy like Dana Brown in the room for the couple of months where there was no GM is what got you Rafael Montero at $11 million a year and Jose Abreu at $20 million.
Dana Brown almost has to act like a trust fund manager for a rich kid there. But, like, listen, man, no, you've got one nice luxury vehicle. I can't approve you getting another one. You've got enough for now.
And yet, I have a sneaking suspicion, like, Blake Snell is going to be an Astro come Tuesday night.
Woo!
I was like, they were chasing a little bit. I mean, not based on any information I have, just based on the behavior of this team and this owner. And I say this, I'm referring to him not by name, as if I'm angry he's made all these trades through the years. It's been so fun having Jim Crane as the owner, other than having Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero on the team. But they chased Snell this offseason, actively chased him. And then, as Reggie Jackson pointed out on that podcast, like, it's a lot of things just didn't stack up for us there. The thing that's scaring teams about Snell ended up signing a 2-year deal with the Giants for $30-plus million a year with a player option for the second year. So that's what's scaring teams about Snell, especially early in the season. He wasn't good. He's been really good. His last four starts, he's been excellent. He had a 15-strikeout game within the last week or two.
The thing about the Astros' ability to develop players is something that I think this could be a conversation between Jim Crane and Dana Brown, too, that if you trust in our organization's ability to actually develop and bring these guys along, that our pipeline is actually always a lot stronger than Baseball America thinks it is.
Right.
And is that an edge that the Astros can sustain over time? I think it is. Some of the things that happen in scouting, some of the game, you know, the Astros, they had a lot of advantages, and this goes back to the Cardinals days with Jet when he was with the Cardinals. Some of those the league starts to pick up on, and they start using the technology and everything to scout and develop guys. You lose your edge over time with that. Player development is one of those things that everybody knows you should be focusing on it, but it's boring and it's hard to do. So there, you can always have an edge in player development.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like with long-term investing. Everybody knows that you shouldn't panic and let short-term things affect you, but it happens because it's hard not to. So I think Jim Crane probably tells Dana Brown at times, like, listen, I know you're letting go a couple of your prize developmental gems. There's more. We'll get more and we'll develop these guys.
Well, we'll get more and we'll develop these guys. And, oh, by the way, Dana, like, you're scouting and the guys you're bringing in, now I'm not sure if the guys that they would be trading in a deal for, say, Blake Snell would be guys that have been handpicked by Dana Brown. They might be guys who've been in the system before Brown got here.
Yeah.
But the prospects do two things for you. They either replenish your own roster or they allow you to go get guys that put you over the top to go win two World Series in 6 years. So feel okay, Dana. It's just you're bringing money into the organization. We're just deploying it differently, man.
That's right.
We're just using it to go get Blake Snell.
Yeah, there's two sides to that
or
equation.
Eric Fetty or Yusei Kikuchi or Jameson Taillon.
Oh, Kikuchi. Give me some Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Although I kind of dread how much fun Blum would have with Kikuchi.
You do?
Yeah. You know, he loves his little...
Too much dad joke fun.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah. He would be a little too dad jokey.
Well, the good news is Kikuchi is a pitcher, so we wouldn't get a trademark Blum, like, home run call afterward.
Yeah.
Unless he's a hell of a pinch hitter and they bring him in and he hits bombs. But because that's usually where we get the cheesiest version of Blum is after a guy hits a home run.
I just thought
I don't mind Blum.
After a strikeout, going KK Kikuchi, but that doesn't sound good at all.
No.
No,
that's not good. I kind of want Cal Quantrill just because you saw the video last week of him yelling at McGuire, that Red Sox player. He tells it like it is, Cal Quantrill. He was pointing out something that McGuire did that was a little...
He got caught doing something very embarrassing.
In a parking lot, yeah.
He was focused very intently on himself.
Yes.
He's a little too... he's all about me, this guy.
In a pleasure-laden kind of way, yeah. And Cal Quantrill reminded him of that when the two teams were jawing at each other last week. I kind of like this Quantrill fella.
That's got to be one of the more embarrassing crime, like misdemeanor that you don't want on your record.
No.
That's got to be. Are you a sex criminal at that point? Or is it?
That's a good question.
It's probably lewd behavior.
Text in 713-572-4610.
You have to go register in your neighborhood.
That would suck, dude.
It's probably, it'd be the look of relief on people's faces when, like, this guy comes to the door and, like, just so you know, I'm a registered sex offender, and I got to tell you that. So then you go and you go check out the registry afterwards. You're probably like, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to worry about this guy, like, yeah.
Well, but is it true? Like, I've heard, like, if you get caught, like, urinating in public in a neighborhood or something like that, that you've got to
register. That's a sex offense? It probably depends on municipality.
Maybe. All right, this ends your legal... Your legal lewd act segment of Payne and Pendergast. Yeah.
We've got legal people. Text in 713-572-4610.
For sure.
Tell us what happens if I get caught urinating in public. Am I a sex offender?
We'll do acknowledge.
I think if it's near a school zone. That's where
that could be.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that could
be. If you get, there's certain things that happens, and it's like, dude, it's 3 a.m. on Saturday night or Sunday morning, but it's in a school zone. Yeah.
You and I are so out over our skis right now, legally, right? Damian Pierce met with the media over the weekend. We didn't get a chance to play it on the show. I think it was Friday or Saturday. Damian met with the media. Really, really good stuff from Damian Pierce. It always is. Man, I hope Damian has a good year. Here's Damian Pierce on Joe Mixon's influence on him in the locker room.
I ain't never played with a guy like Joe. You know, a back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher in this league. You know, that's somebody I aspire to be. That's something I aspire to do. That's a standard I have for myself. That's something I think every back wants in this league, especially being a young guy. And, you know, Joe came in this league when he was like 20, 21, so he's been that young guy on the team. He's been that veteran guy in the room, so, and he's been everything in between as well. He's also had a year where he was hurt, and he bounced back and had a thousand yard year after that. So having Joe Mixon in the running back room is a great addition in my mind, and in terms of my development, you know, it gives me, you know, it motivates me because that's somebody I look up to. Joe's one of my favorite running backs when he was at Oklahoma, and then getting drafted going to the Bengals, you know, I was like, he always been in my top five. Like, as current running backs, he always been in my top five. So it's just crazy to kind of, like, have, like, that welcome to the NFL moment. Like, oh, it's Joe Mixon in my room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never really had that before. And it's kind of cool, you know, to see somebody that I look up to be in my running back room. And I have him to lean on for information, support, or anything I ever need.
I fact-checked him on this, Sean. Mm. I went back and I watched his rookie press conference because I remember that he had mentioned some of his role models.
Pierce did.
He looked up to. He didn't name five guys, but they were all big power backs. They were stronger guys.
And?
He said, what's that?
And? Oh, no. And it was,
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, Joe Mixon wasn't one of them.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Joe Mixon, but it's not like he named his top five. He named 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on who they were. He said specifically, you know, like, I didn't I didn't try to emulate Chris Brown because I'm not running no 4.240.
Right.
So
right.
I was impressed that he brought
Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Chris Brown was on the Texans back in 2008.
Not the kicker. There was a running back.
Went to Naperville North, Chris the alma Johnson. Mater of Judy and Sammy Pendergast.
No positive reinforcement bell for me at the end of this one. I screwed up Chris Brown and
Chris
Johnson.
You didn't even bring it. You don't even have the bell out here with you.
I respect that he brought up Chris Johnson, though, too, because Damian would have been probably, what, like 10 years old?
Then? That was like 09. Yeah. He ran for 2,000 yards. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I feel like Damian Pierce is somebody that if you asked him his top five, he's got one in the back of his head. You know, they do that with a lot of these guys. And I'm like, hey, who's your top? Remember they did it to DeAndre Hopkins, like, who's your top five quarterbacks? And DeAndre, like, appeared to be in a state where he couldn't even name five quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know my policy. I try to tell guys, listen, don't, whenever you're asked to power rank anything, you don't have to answer the question.
Killjoy.
Because you're going to, this is what you do. In your mind, you just start thinking of names.
Yeah.
And you go, you don't want to be
people
caught.
People like me run completely. With it, and it's awesome.
You don't want to be like the UCLA coach up there at the podium last week. You just want to spit something out so you don't look like a fool.
Right.
And you end up, and then it ends up becoming headline porn.
Yeah. Seth just told all of you to be more like Deshaun Foster. Don't say anything.
Yeah, that was, I mean, he was.
That was tough.
He was in a prepared remarks.
Deer in the headlights.
There.
Yeah.
What's going on with him? Did he explain that at all about why he blanked?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's get to acknowledge me. Let's acknowledge some of the big performances from over the weekend. We do this every Monday at about 7:20, and big performances either from over the weekend or the past several days. We are Astro and Texan heavy in this one, so let's start off with Alex Bregman.
Acknowledge me.
We will acknowledge Alex Bregman for this play, this at bat, right here on Saturday night.
And Bregman drives one. Ball, game, over. Up on the train track. Union Station is starting a party tonight. What a game. What a win.
Mayhem at Minute Maid.
Yeah, there you go. So, mayhem at Minute Maid. That was, I didn't go back through all the games. That felt like the best win of the year for the Astros. They've had some big ones. That felt like that was only the second time this year they've come back from 5-0 down. The fact that it all came after the sixth inning, so much of it came with two outs on Saturday. You know, all the runs they scored in that sixth inning that got them back in the game, it all came with two outs.
Yeah, that was one of the big differences between, you know, yesterday and those first two was they were very, very good with runners in scoring position.
That's right.
In those first two games, and they were 1-for-10 yesterday.
Yeah.
And it took a while for that game yesterday to get going. After all the excitement of the first couple games, they were just
no hits for
four innings
either team. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, look, Bregman, that was awesome. I think some of the things in those first two games that was most exciting was that, Joey Loperfido was huge in the outfield. Yiner and Singleton showing off their power. All the guys that are not the marquee names really just playing their butts off.
Yordan had a crappy series.
Yeah.
Yordan wasn't good in this series.
I could even sit back and enjoy... Dang it, Sean.
I'll need a clue here.
Young Biggio. Thank you.
Kevin Biggio. Yeah.
I could enjoy Kevin Biggio's performance in hindsight.
They took two out of three.
He had a triple on a really nice hit to right field that just creamed off. But that was I feel bad for Biggio when his son is playing the Astros.
Why?
I don't know. You're just kind of caught looking there like you got to... I don't know.
I think it worked out great.
The Astros win. That's true. You can hope for his...
Astros win two out of three, and Kevin had a great series.
Yeah.
It worked out as good as
he
could have.
He looks too much like his father. I honestly get an uncomfortable feeling when he's at bat.
Yeah.
Because he looks too much like his father that I
don't
like. You
think he looks like Craig?
There's a resemblance. No, he doesn't look like him, but there's a... Something in his jawline or whatever from your profile.
Yeah.
You can see it when the camera's behind him. There's a little bit. You can tell. You can tell that he's related, and I don't like it.
I don't think he looks anything like him.
There's enough of a resemblance.
Is there? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
What the hell are you alleging here?
Brett,
my God.
Yeah.
Jeez.
One thing we got to go on is he's good at baseball.
I know. Yeah. He looks a lot more like Bagwell, come to think
okay,
of it.
Okay, now you went there.
I'm just reading. What the tea leaves that you're reading, you're laying out in front of me.
So we say all this to say, Bregman, you've got acknowledged. Great walk-off home run. Great moment. It was and a great call. But you know what, Ben? Let's acknowledge Todd Callis for that call as well.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah, that's acknowledge. That was a great call. Ball, game, over. As soon as it hit the bat, he said it. That was great. Good
I
job,
feel like
Callis.
He's gotten a little bit of his fastball.
Callis is...
Yeah, I don't want to say back. He never lost his fastball. I feel like there's a little extra oomph in his fastball this year.
He's had a good year.
Yeah.
Todd Callis. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah, he's had the... You know what? I bet as a play-by-play guy, you go through a year like 2022, for instance, it probably gets a little bit boring. You know,
so good.
Right around when you get to August so, right. Yeah, so these last couple years, he's had more drama. It's probably kind of like honed his skills.
Well,
he's got more dicey situations.
Never know who gets blamed for a down season. Sometime it might be the announced team might get blamed. You say, you know what, we need to shake things up. We need a new voice for the team. So Callis knows, man, he's playing for his job too. Everybody's playing for their job, man. You got to bring it every single day. Good job, Todd Callis. Framber Valdez.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge him for his big performance on Friday. 6 1/3, 10 strikeouts, ball moving so much that, as you pointed out, Clayton Kershaw had to pause in the middle of an interview because Framber was so filthy and nasty.
Clayton Kershaw. And then the people interviewing him the broadcast booth interviewing Clayton Kershaw tried to direct it back to Clayton Kershaw.
That was the Apple game. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he said, wow, that was a nice pitch. And he said something nice about Framber. And the broadcast crew was like, but you're good too, Clayton. You're really good. And Clayton was like, yeah, all right, guys. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Framber for a second. And everything he's added to his arsenal since the last time Clayton Kershaw paid attention to
him. I'm not going to acknowledge Clayton Kershaw for that. Because you have to be special to get acknowledged. But that's nice of him to do that, I think. That was nice of
him. It is, man. Framber is, you know what you do when you're watching TV and you convince yourself that, sure, I could hit this pitcher. If I had enough time and I spent enough time out there in the batting cage and everything, sure, I could. Framber, I don't know how anybody hits him when he's on. It's just incredible how late that ball breaks and how much it drops.
Well, and he's not a junk baller either. He can dial it up to 97, 98 miles an hour, too, you know? Sometimes a little too fast on his sinker, as they pointed out earlier this year.
Oh, and I'll especially acknowledge him for, as we discussed earlier, for a guy that we were worried about, you know, going into last season, how will he adjust to the pitch clock? Deked the batter by walking away from the mound as the play clock expired for the batter.
Yeah.
He didn't square up in time. You know, by the time the batter was supposed to square up, Framber was off, damn near to second base, breathing through his eyelids and everything.
Yeah.
He turns around, boom, you're out.
Dummy, out. Good job, Framber. All right, let's get to some Texans training camp acknowledgement. Derek Stingley Jr.
Acknowledge me!
He's been awesome this camp. These are just general acknowledgements, although Stingley has had some moments over the weekend, like a lot of guys. He had an interception of C.J. Stroud, I believe, at Friday's practice, where kind of a lazy throw by C.J., uncharacteristically.
How was it lazy?
Oh, he was kind of, I mean, like, he it was a bad throw. Like,
right.
He was just throwing off his back foot, just throwing
just
it up
like
in the air.
Throwing it
Maybe
up
I'm using the wrong adjective.
You.
Careless. How's that?
Careless. Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, kind of a careless throw by CJ, which Derek Stingley jumped in. It would have been a pick six.
I think CJ, I like that. I almost wonder if CJ has thrown more interceptions at this point in practice this year than he did last year, which is a good thing in terms of playing with things and figuring things out. You don't want a quarterback.
Explain to the audience why it's a good thing, because I think people just...
Because in practice, this is when you're supposed to make mistakes.
Right.
It's one of the hazards of training camp video being out there for everybody, is that you see all these mistakes. People... You're acknowledging Derek Stingley. There's people listening right now that were like, I saw him get roasted by Stephon Diggs in one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what's supposed to happen for defensive backs in one-on-ones.
Yes.
If you're playing aggressively, if you're it basically cover zero all the time,
yep.
And you're going against a really good wide receiver, yeah, you should be making – if you're not making mistakes, you're not actually pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
So with quarterbacks, practice is the time when you can push the envelope, you can experiment with things, you can really refine what the edges of that envelope are. And if you've got a guy who's never thrown interceptions in practice, then he's not actually trying all that hard to get better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that CJ is experimenting and pushing things, and, yeah, he's going to make mistakes. That's where you learn.
Do you agree with me that Stingley's had a great camp so far?
I would say, you know what, 100% honestly, it's really hard to tell with these wide receivers and Derek Stingley, because you've got iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think he has been very competitive. I think Kamari Lassiter is the guy that I would say has looked like the guy that has improved from day one to now. Day one, there are a lot more episodes of him, you know, allowing some separation, bigger separation, and he's just kind of reeled it in as he's starting to figure out NFL route running.
Yeah.
And he's made some really nice plays on the ball. The best thing I would say about this group of starting cornerbacks versus starting wide receivers is that you get those great plays where, you know, okay, when you're watching your own team practice against itself, usually it's always like, okay, great play for the offense. What'd the defense screw up?
Right.
And vice versa. There have been so many plays where wide receivers were covered, but a reception was made because CJ had perfect ball placement.
Yeah,
to where you can feel good about both.
About
You're
everybody.
Like, okay, well, Stingley's not going to face CJ Stroud every single week, and you can't ask him to cover Stephon Diggs any better than he did.
That's right.
But CJ placed it right on the sideline.
Yeah.
And going away from the 50-50 ball, and CJ caught the ball.
That's where you're like, I like having all three of those guys on my team.
Yeah,
All the guys involved, I like having them on my team. Stephon Diggs.
Acknowledge me!
I think he's been the best offensive player in camp so far. Stephon Diggs has had a really good camp. I'm not even adding in the leadership aspect.
I saw a fantasy person say that he was leaning towards Stephon Diggs being the actual number one for the Texans. So in terms of fantasy, in terms of actual football scheming, I don't think there is or needs to be a number one. It's going to be a game-by-game basis. But this person, I cannot remember who was saying it, was saying that, well, based on targets and everything, it seems like Diggs will be the guy. I would wait on that, just because I think that CJ and Bobby Slowick and everybody else is probably spending a lot of time really trying to get Stephon Diggs ingrained in the offense and bring him on board.
Yep.
So based on training camp targets, I'm not going to think about that one bit. I would shy away from drafting Robert Woods.
Skoranek has been feisty out here, but I don't know that I'd necessarily draft Ben Skoranek.
I've noticed that when Robert Woods is running with the ones, I'm kind of like, well, all right, I'm going to zero in on somebody else who's probably more likely to get the ball
for sure. Diggs has been great, though. That's been good. Any of the naysayers about the second half of the season that Diggs had, putting it on Diggs?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you pointed out many times, it was probably more on the new offensive coordinator scheme. They were winning games doing it the way they were doing it in the second half of the season. Diggs has not lost a step.
Joe Brady, the new offensive coordinator, came in and he did some really smart things, and it actually involves something that Slowick talked about on that Chris Long podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, man, Diggs is really lethal with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And we've seen that out here. When he catches stuff underneath, he has got an ability to make people miss it to an extreme degree.
Big time. Yeah.
So Joe Brady took advantage of that to try to open things up elsewhere. You don't have to just open things up by being a deep threat. You can open things up by teams being conscious of where a guy is underneath. The encouraging thing about that for me is that I think if the Texans decide to use Stephon Diggs a lot in that same way, unlike how it was with the Bills last year, Diggs would have room to run.
Yeah.
You know, and it wouldn't have to necessarily be stifling Stephon Diggs. It would be kind of opening things up. If you get him matched up on a safety, if you get him matched up on a linebacker,
yeah,
then you can do some lethal things after the catch.
Yeah. Let's do an under-the-radar guy acknowledgement. Brevin Jordan.
Acknowledge me!
Now, this is D'Amico Ryans on Friday following practice, and this dovetails off of an OTA and minicamp sessions where D'Amico Ryans was saying similar things about tight end Brevin Jordan. Here was D'Amico on Friday about Jordan.
From Brevin, what I've seen a young man who stepped out since day one, like, with more confidence. Like, he's been very confident this camp. He's been on the details of his job. He's playing fast. He's playing physical. Brev is, I mean, he's straining. I mean, he really sticks out on tape out of everyone watching not only offense but our special teams. Like, show some reps of Brevin the other day of him on our punt coverage, like how physical he was on the snap, how he got out and beat everyone downfield. Brev is doing an outstanding job his first 2 weeks of camp, and I'm so excited to see his growth, right? That's why I enjoy coaching, man. I get to see guys develop and see them grow, and it's not any guy I'm more proud of than Brev with the steps that he's made so far.
So, Brett, I guess the question with Brevin would be, because he showed some things at the end of last year. He's sick of answering questions about his touchdown in the Cleveland game, he said. He's had a really good offseason this year. I mean, D'Amico Ryans back in OTAs and minicamp had a comment where he said, man, the guy we keep showing on film every day is there's a Brevin Jordan play on our film cutups every single day.
Yeah.
I guess the best case for Brevin Jordan, Seth, in my mind, would be like he's this year's Jonathan Grenard, or maybe like more like Blake Cashman might be, because Grenard was like legit like double-digit sack guy last year. I don't know that Brevin's going to get enough usage in this offense to where he's going to have the equivalent of what Grenard did sack-wise last year, but I think he can have 30 or 35 catches and show enough other NFL teams like, man, if we get this guy and we plunk him down in our offense, but we're doubling his targets, he can turn into something.
He has a versatility to him that I think Bobby Sloak is probably really excited about using. He's not a classic inline tight end, yeah, you know, that your prototype can block, can catch at all. So if you think about like the three types of tight ends, if there's a flex tight end who's your more of a wide receiver than he is a tight end, your hybrid is a guy that can play H-back and can also split out as a wide receiver, not that great of a blocker. He's somewhere between those two. And there's going to be times and opportunities within games where they can use him creatively. So it's not going to be a steady diet of Brevin Jordan. But I think just like on his long touchdown last year, they're going to find ways to use him. And it's not going to be every week, but he's going to explode here and there.
Yeah, it should be fun. Should be a whole lot of fun. All right, another tight end I want to acknowledge on the Texans. Rookie Cade Stover.
Acknowledge me.
Really good video from the Texans content team, digital team. I think it's called like My Story, and they have stories of different young players who are on the team. And Cade Stover's story has been pointed out many times. He has a farming background.
Yeah.
Farmer Gronk. Was initially a defensive player at Ohio State, became an offensive player, became a tight end, really good tight end at Ohio State. Drafted in the fourth round by the Texans. Here was Stover in that video. It's about a 5-minute video. Go find it. It's worth your time. On finding out he was drafted by the Texans.
With the 123rd pick of the NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Cade Stover.
I didn't watch 1 second of that draft, any of it. I was actually unhooking my dad's chisel plow from his tractor, and my phone rang.
Coach Ryan's here with the Texans, man. He's about to turn his pick in for you. Excited?
Oh, thanks so much.
We just got done working ground, and I was literally cranking the jack on the chisel blow to unhook that. I had headphones on, just on one ear, just so I could make sure my phone, I didn't miss it.
All right, so my question, Seth.
That's good. He got away from it.
What the hell's a chisel plow?
Oh, okay. All right. Chisel plow is like, okay, if you think about what a classic plow looks like, you know, where the wedge look to it.
Yep.
Where it's just in it and you pull it along and there's just nice fresh ground behind it.
Yep.
A chisel plow, it's just got these like curved hooks, a bunch of those.
You've
seen those.
Yeah.
So what it does is It leaves the vegetation on top.
Yeah.
So it helps with erosion.
Okay.
It kind of loosens everything up and aerates
it a little bit.
Yeah, but it leaves a lot of the vegetation on top.
Oh.
So it helps with erosion and like no till plowing or no till farming and all that. Yeah.
Like aerating things a little bit?
Yes.
I was always told back when I owned a house, because I don't anymore, I live in an apartment now, but I was always told you got to aerate your lawn.
Right.
So they'd come out and they'd use, I guess,
an aerator.
True Green version of, which is the suburban version of a chisel plow.
So he was doing that. He was unhitching or hitching the chisel?
Unhooking the chisel plow from the
So you just finished a bunch of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's watch the Texans just put out a video, that video on him that you just, we grabbed that audio from, which is good. And there's a really good video out there from the American Beef Council. And I'm like, oh, look at this. This was done while he was in college. Like, man, he got
NIL.
He's getting that NIL money from Big Beef.
Dude.
Yeah. He's got to get himself a podcast because he can get that funded by Big Ag.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of different Monsanto will get his hooks into him and man, it's all over.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they do a really cool type of farming, which is they raise beef, but they sell whole cows to individual consumers who will like keep it in their freezer. So like they're selling it to a family. Like, hey, we're buying a side of beef for this year.
Yep.
And they get repeat customers and everything. He talks a lot about, you know, creating a good environment for the animals, and the customers actually come out and visit the farm. It's cool.
How's he look so far to you?
I think he looks good. I think it's for the blocking. I've seen some good things. I've seen some work that he needs to do. He's only played tight end for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he gets the ball in his hands, he's got that rumbling, stumbling kind of element to him.
Yeah.
I don't like the nickname Farmer Gronk because I think it does a disservice to...
Yeah, we need a new nickname.
Well, Gronk was like one of the best blocking tight ends ever. And that's why he still and will always be better than Travis Kelce.
Right.
Like, he affected defenses differently than Travis Kelce did. But... And when he's asked about, when Cade Stover's asked about the Farmer Gronk nickname, he'll actually name off other tight ends that he thinks he more compares to than Farmer Gronk. So I like him for that. He's got an understanding of it. But he's got an appetite for contact. I think he's not as athletic as George Kittle, but there's some George Kittle elements to him because he's almost the exact same body size.
Yeah, that's exciting.
He's like the exact same height and weight as George Kittle, but George Kittle is obviously a very, very good blocker. Stover is very raw in his blocking, but he's very much working at it. So that's the – I think he'll get opportunities this year when they go out in two tight end sets. It's just a matter of how quickly can he bring along the blocking.
Where is C.J. Stroud in the MVP talk right now, early here in training camp? The odds are out. This is, wow, man, green arrow up for C.J. Stroud amongst the betting community right now and amongst a former player who is now a national NFL analyst. You'll hear that as well as we roll on here live. Day 9 of Texans training camp. Stay there.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.